Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! My love! Yay, thank you so much. I am so excited and honored to be here and sharing and exploring on this topic, sacred sexuality, which is such a broad, vast topic of life and of walking on this planet and coming into relationship. And what we'll explore each show, we dip our toes into perhaps a little bit of meditation, of self-inquiry, of going inward, perhaps a little discussion, education, awareness on facets of sexuality and consciousness that often we just don't get a chance to openly explore, don't feel like that's available. So this is where we can explore that, slowing way down. With love and respect and allowing ourselves to be here in our bodies and witness what emerges in our bodies. So as we continue today, we're going to begin with an opening of breath and being and, again, settling into our bodies. And then we'll open into today's topic. So join me now as we take a breath. And maybe invite a little exhale with some sound. Feeling breath, witnessing your body, and experiencing for a moment perhaps that witness place without judging. So notice if you're, I can't slow down, I don't feel like blah, 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 oh, this thing hurts, this. Let's release beyond those layers of labels and judgments and into a place of, I'm noticing that, and let it drift on. I'm noticing perhaps a tension in my body, or I'm noticing a spacious in my body, a spaciousness, or a place that's connected and feeling contact with the earth through the chair, the floor, the seats, however you're engaged in this moment with the space around you. To really settle in and to let yourself feel, what's it like to be in this body? I invite that we are infinite beings in finite form, and that it's a gift to have a physical body and to be present in it, that our body carries this tremendous infinite wisdom. It's available to us by simply slowing down, noticing, checking in, and maybe starting to discern different ways that those messages come through and align with what feels authentic, real, right, resonant. Feeling where your internal compass is guiding you and aligning with that. So perhaps holding the intention of health, healing, and wholeness, of inviting light into the body by letting go of things that no longer serve, and holding open that space of possibility. Taking a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, to notice, to be present, and to explore as we open up into today's topic. And then opening your eyes, if they were closed, bringing your awareness back into the space around you, and delighting with me today in exploring what I'm going to call radical self-responsibility, and how that concept interplays in many ways in our life, in our sexuality, in our life force essence, and just walking this dance on this planet. This has come up quite alive for me in several facets that I'm going to share about. So I'm going to weave some stories in here and share a little bit about what this means to me and open some inquiry into what does it mean for you. And radical self-responsibility. So I'm going to begin with a little bit of what's kind of physically present for me today. And that is, as I stepped outside onto the land, and frankly, I didn't even have to go that far, as I woke up this morning with my nose just frozen, peeking out from underneath layers of blankets and comforters here in Southeast Michigan in November, which is often a time of cool. You know, we're crisp, we're autumn, we're heading into winter. And yet today, whammo, we were hit with quite a cold spell and temperatures that feel like something around 1 degree Fahrenheit. That's cold. And my body feels like that's cold. And it reminds me of something my love was sharing that he had heard recently that aligns completely with this. And that is, you know, sometimes when it gets colder, when things aren't just like what we want them to be, and we get kind of grumbly about that, and then there's this, like, I find myself, I'll get that way. I'll get pouty about it. I don't want it to be cold. I want it to be different. And the reality is, you know what? I can wear clothing that supports it, right? If I need a hat, an extra layer of socks, what do I need so that I can be comfy and feel fine and safe in my body given the surroundings that I'm dealing with? So it's radical self-responsibility. Like, just because something is making me grumpy doesn't mean that it's anybody's fault outside of me. I can make a choice to make a change to feel better. And so I have. I'm actually wearing a hat. Right, so even though I'm inside, I'm feeling a little warmer with holding the heat in my body to my head, and that feels lovely. And I stepped outside on the land. I chose to have a layer of socks instead of my usual bare feet as I walked along this really crunchy, crispy ice layer into the grass, and took a few breaths and found completion and came back in quite quickly. But it felt good to take a breath outside and, again, to like delight in being in my body. There is this real joy I'm experiencing, and I invite, as I've been noticing, what is it like to settle back in and be here, be in my body. Now, that concept, and we've touched on this before in some prior episodes, I share about it a lot. When that first came to me by a mentor, a spiritual guide of mine, a therapist of mine, she was like, talking about this concept of getting in my body, or that maybe I wasn't in my body all that well and whatever, and in her beautifully compassionate words, I'm sure it came through differently. But I just sat there and kind of thought, well, what do you mean? Because, like, of course I'm in my body. I'm sitting here talking to you. I didn't have any concept of what really it means for my being, my essence, my knowing to be rooted in here and to be present with the sensations and the experiences of my body. I didn't have a slot for that in my brain at the time. And it's been about 15 years probably of now walking in this path of deep embodiment, of really noticing and connecting with ways to learn about what am I hanging on to? What ways am I not fully present? How can I get into this moment right here, right now, and really feel the connection of this sweet gift of a body? Is connected, right? Because this is where radical self-responsibility comes back in. Here I am having an experience through this physical form. I am, I will say, the source of my own experience and my own well-being. And that's a concept that is easily overlooked. I know for a long time, and I still will dance in it, I go, oh no, you know, it's this thing happening outside me that is X, Y, or Z, and it's not something that I can control, and it feels really awful. And yeah, I get that it can feel that way, and yes, I felt that way. And when I do, I really try to take a moment to take a breath and get in my body and relax. Trust that I'm not doing anything wrong. I can take a breath to notice and slow down, and then I don't have to fix anything. Another big one that comes up for me. And that really, yes, I am responsible for my experiences, for my well-being, and I can make these choices. So how I want to rewind a little bit, because that was that my awareness into that has been a new part of my journey. And it started for me way back at a time when I was holding arm's length. Like I had this situation that happened during my parents' divorce where I was really like, I got some body level clarity, like I need to not rely on anybody. You know, they're going to leave, so I just should do it all myself. Right? I made a choice to not let anybody in and to do it all myself. In conjunction with the choice of not feeling and numbing out, that's a pretty harsh world to live in, of just holding people out and obey all the time. Like, I'm going to just do everything. So I went into what I'll call a mode of radical independence. And that phrase, that word independence, has a lot of different connotations. And the way I'm using it here is when we're too harshly in a place of like, I'm just going to do it all myself, then we really aren't opening our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and to the possibility of a collaboration, to the possibility that in when I am in my power, others are also in their power, and together we can share and trust in an even greater support. That by someone else being in their power, it's not taking away from me. That by me being in my light and my power, it's not taking away from someone else. That there's this exquisite balance. So what I was walking in was rigid. It was like, nope, I'm going to do it all myself. I'm not going to let anybody in. They don't do it right anyway. I mean, I carried a lot of anger, a lot of judgment. Like, you know, you can't even do it right, so let me just do it myself. And this showed up so many ways in my life, right? Like it was, it showed up in literally just interacting with friends. It showed up in deep space with lovers, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And it showed up in also ways that were, you know, really helpful for me to learn. So by being rigidly independent, I definitely did get things done, and I was walking a very strong path of learning and growth through school. So I was on what I've called before that sort of hyper overdrive, overachiever kind of type A path, you know, do really well in school, do, accomplish, more awards, more success, more things acquired on the list. And while that has some value, like, yeah, it's important to be a strong, independent person and to be able to make your way in the world. That's what I'm talking about here, radical self-responsibility. Yet, it can be taken too far. And I certainly felt that I was in that too far place. And it's what I'll call the sort of wounded masculine, like this power-driven, aggressive kind of energy that isn't really holding open a safe space. It's just barreling in and doing it all myself. So let me give an example of that in my sexuality. It's what I call my early years of my sexual energy, my sexuality, and my connection with partners. Really all I knew was it was really tight. I mean, I just described the energy of it. Really fiery, really goal-oriented, get it done, I got to put it on the list. So to me, sex, I enjoyed sex. Had you asked me about my sex life at the time, I would have said, yep, I have a good sex life with my partner. I was in a committed partnership, you know, and it was going pretty well most of the time. Yes, we had our ups and downs. I would have said these things, right? Yeah, I liked it. Well, what I'm also keenly aware of in reflection is the only way that I could reach an orgasm in that time was literally by my own hand. So I'll call it sort of clitorally stimulated. So externally stimulated, we'll just use that phrase, because the clitoris actually goes very deep into the body, and that's another topic of conversation, how lovely and broad and vast the erectile tissue network is in our different bodied beings. But I'll just say an external, so it's like on that surface kind of thing. So physically on the surface and also emotionally on the surface, not a very deep experience of being really opening to the inward. I'm going to do a little check-in on, does that shift anything on hearing me? I'm hearing that you may not be hearing me quite clearly. So I'm just going to take a moment and chat for a second with a little bit of an adjustment. We're going to hope that shifts it. And if not, we'll just keep going from there. So in that time in my early in my early sexuality, this sort of clenched, driven, active, it was again this sort of like, I'm just going to, instead of opening and allowing and inviting a collaborative quality to my sexual energy, it was very much like, oh, I'll just take over the controls and I'll, quote, take matters into my own hands and build towards and reach an orgasm that way. And that's just all I knew. Like, that's, I just assumed that's how I was wired. Like, that's all I'm capable of. Any studies I had read or any things I had explored out in the world said, you know, showed, oh yeah, X percent of women are capable of this or not capable of that or whatever. And so those studies are really sort of self-defeating, like, didn't really help me see that my own body and my own journey could open and change and unfurl, which I have since learned. So this nature that we're working with today, radical self-responsibility, at the time, I was in that place of hyper over-control. Take matters in my own hands, do it all myself. So now I'll come forward a moment into this concept that using that as an example, something else that's been very alive for me in the recent, literally this last week, and I'll say just in the dance of life, I've been working with some self-awareness and embodiment practices, this really beautiful ecstatic breath and sound class that has helped me open up and work with my energy bodies in some new ways. And as I've been doing that, coming into relationship with my solar plexus and the chakra associated with that area of my body, as well as the physical area of my body and the xiphoid process. So the solar plexus is just below, like above the navel, below the heart, and is a center that in our chakra system we associate with this center of power that I'm talking about. And what I started to learn and embody and actually read about as well through my teacher, who's been just a great resource in this, is this qualities of how our solar plexus chakra can be really overactive, which is what I've been describing. Like, that was what I was walking, was this really overactive nature. Or the other shift of that pendulum is really underactive, or also not the healthy balance, but in the place of sort of neediness, of I need to look outside myself to get my power, emotional clinginess, not feeling like I can make decisions for myself, swallowing up my own needs to just be something that I think somebody else wants me to be. And I see that in my past as well, prior, where I was, you know, early in dating and teenagers, you know, I would do things or like a song because a boy liked a song and surely I should like that too because he likes it, and even if I really didn't like it, like this type of quality. And this tends to be a bit of, again, an imbalance in our power. So it's like, yes, when we're in that place, the step up place to say, you know, becoming independent, becoming aware of our capability and our strength and our power is really important. But as I mentioned before, it can be taken too far. So what I want to invite is this balance place, the center, that when I'm really clear and clean about who I am and my power and trusting others in theirs, now we're in a place of like radical self-responsibility. Like, I can be who I am, I can trust who that is, and I can walk this world with that ownership, and I can trust that other people have their own stuff and have their own journey. And as we interact, we're going to learn and teach each other, grow. But we're also going to have points where we trigger each other. So I want to get into that actually in a moment about what I really mean by trusting that I am the owner of my own responsibility, of my own experiences. And that includes the ones that I don't like so much. So taking that accountability that comes along with the responsibility of connecting with our power. I'm going to touch on a couple of concepts around where does this show up? Like, this is not just me talking about this. This shows up in other pieces. And we'll come back to that and explore that in a moment after a short break.
Thank you, Leslie. You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. You're listening live with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie, please give us a call at 646-378-0378. And that number again is 646-378-0378. She's more than willing to answer questions and bring your curiosity. Now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Whee! Thanks, Courtney. Oh, there's just a lot going on this planet right now. And again, I'm going to just remind myself we are here in a body, and that is a gift. And so here we go. And remind us all that we can, you know, just trust our path, trust our possibilities, and it doesn't have to be perfect. And it's perfect. It's a great segue into what I was just saying before break. It's not just me talking about this. There are a lot of other ways you can tap into philosophies and teachings around this concept that, you know, we're really responsible for creating the world around us and for our experiences and how we interact with those experiences and holding ourselves in the compassion of learning and growing in them. And one of my teachers, I think, spoke it really well in some shared agreements she shared on a class that she's hosting. And she's in Australia. Her name's Leola Antara. And I really love the way she worked with some of the wording in this. And that's really like this agreement to keep my awareness on myself and my own experience. And that comes from like this place of witness, right? Like I am witnessing from my set of filters, from my experience. And as I do that and walk in the world, I can learn a lot, but I'm also not going to apply the judgments or the categorization on others. Let myself feel and connect with my own experience. She's the one that spoke about agreeing to take 100% responsibility for myself as the source of my experience and for my own well-being. So that then now I'm dancing and relating to the challenges in my life, so the breakdowns, the things that feel tough, relating to those in a creative and resourceful way. So I don't have to feel like I'm overwhelmed by them. I can trust that I can start to relate to them. I have the power and the choice to do that. And when I do feel overwhelmed, I can reach out and ask for help. And this is that balance, right? It's not just about only me. I'm the only person here. I have to do it all myself. But I can be clear about what I need and reach out and ask for help. So it shows up in many ways in those aspects, and also things like the four agreements, the Toltec wisdom, which many people may be familiar with, but the nature of don't take things personally. You know, that's one of those four agreements, is we walk around on this planet, things happen to us or around us perceptively, and yet really it's about us dancing with the inquiry of our own self-growth. How can we learn and grow and be present and interact, that other people's actions really have nothing to do with us. Other people's answers to our questions have nothing to do with us. They're about them and their set of situations, just in the same way we're about us and our set of situations in each given moment. So it shows up a little bit there. It also shows up in another powerful community, and that is the Burning Man community. Radical self-reliance is one of the 10 agreements, 10 principles, I'll say, of the Burning Man community. That, you know what, we're all in this together, and we all need to be able to step in and own that. And yet there are the principles of community and inclusion as well. Like, yeah, and we can rely on, we are being held in the community, and so we bring our piece, and we can interact with and be interdependent on other pieces. And so that gets to kind of what summed it up for me around radical self-responsibility, is this balance on the pendulum swing between what I'll call independence in a harsh way, like I'm going to hold everybody else at bay, to the other end of the spectrum being codependence, like, oh, I have to be all intertwined in this other thing to fill me as a being, like I have no way to function other than through somebody else's filling a hole in myself. that end of the spectrum and saying, no, you know what? Let's find this sweet space in the middle. And I'll call that sweet space in the middle interdependence. That it's interrelating. It's, again, trusting that I am a whole being all by myself, uniquely and independently whole and important and capable, and reaching out and connecting with and allowing and trusting that support of others, trusting the collaborative nature of how we are all human beings on this planet. And we so much, especially in the West, in the society I know, live and grew up in the way I've seen it, is we've so much disconnected from what I'll call a more tribal awareness or connected community awareness. And not that we have to be like, oh, we have to, you know, we have to go do a family function because that's tribe. No, I mean, that's fine if that feels good. I mean, connecting with and really, you know, perhaps rewriting what is family for you? Who are chosen family? Who is chosen tribe? Who are the people you feel safe and good to be authentically wide and bright and full in yourself, you know, full in your fullness of light? In other words, who do you feel safe to be alive with and not have to artificially make yourself small or artificially hide and pull away or artificially make yourself big and try to step on top of, right? Like, there's both ends of that spectrum. So trusting and letting ourselves open our hearts to relating and repatterning perhaps the tribe of people who we walk with, who do we resonate with as community, as tribe, and as support, and that, guess what, it's okay to open and be vulnerable to make those relationships and to make that connection. It doesn't happen just by keeping all our walls up and our guard up and going, I want to connect with people. Well, it takes a moment of also that, again, that self-awareness and responsibility to drop the barriers and the walls, and perhaps even the spikes. You know, sometimes we're putting up some pretty serious spikes on our energy field. They're, you know, like daggers into other people. We don't even consciously are aware of it, maybe. But if we wonder why we're not letting anybody in, we'll just notice the energy of what we're conveying and how we're walking in the world. So this exploration today, radical self-reliance, I want to share one other piece, what's meant to me lately. And that is, to me, this is probably the deepest gift of awareness that I'm noticing in the moment anyway, is this, you know what, my responses, the way my experiences, how I feel my body are mine to work with. Yes, someone else may be the catalyst for what I'm noticing. So, and often those someone else's are the ones that are closest to us, our intimate partners, our deep loves, you know, our the people we share life with. They are often the ones that you will feel maybe the most sort of vibrancy with at times, and then sometimes feel the most difficulty with, like the biggest triggers from these beautiful beings in our life. I really want to invite in this concept, radical self-responsibility, that we own that. I own when I am feeling in a triggered moment, when I am feeling some raw, intense emotion that emerges from someone else's actions outside of me, I am responsible for that first to take a look at it. Like, certainly, one of the first layers of that is, am I really in a situation that I need to, like, from sort of a place of assuming we're all, you know what, we're all in this together. So if there's something that's coming at me that's sort of intentional harm, can I shift where I'm at? Maybe step aside, maybe leave the situation, maybe take a breath and move on to another area so that charge that's in the moment can get a chance to dissipate. You know, if I'm in a situation where there's someone running after me looking to harm me, you know, of course, yes, fight or flight situation, then do what we need to do to move through that in the moment, to run from it or to shift from it in some way, or to use that fight reflex if that's what's being called for. But when we can, to give ourselves a chance to discharge and work with that energy in a different way. And more often what happens in our society now is that we're in a place where what we're feeling in a moment is not has nothing to do with the moment of what's really happening. And we turn on and we flip the switch of an old trigger. It's an old thing that's happening that feels like it's now. And the key to that, to me, to our own, again, self-responsibility, our own deep compassion for ourselves, is to notice that it isn't happening now. And if we can get that moment where we can go, whoa, I'm feeling something really intense and awful, and oh, it's a sensation I'm feeling in my body, and it's not a thing that's happening now, I can start to see it differently and work with a place of witness. And this is a crucial piece to me of this journey of self-awareness, is to really start to notice and acknowledge when I'm in a trigger and when I'm in something that I can start to shift and work with differently. So, and it, frankly, 90% of that is noticing it. And what it takes to notice it is often slowing down enough so we can. So we'll use that for a moment, just this awareness, like I can slow down, take a breath, and really witness my body and notice if there's a trigger. Often I will define as a trigger, there'll be a familiar sensation. This is something you've probably noticed before. It might have you feeling helpless. It might have you feeling really narrowly focused and in sort of a freeze response, like suddenly you're not moving. Maybe you're not breathing. Maybe you're feeling a tension in the belly, for example. That's one that would come up strong for me. It's just this nauseated feeling of like, ugh, like ick. And sometimes it's, like I said, a very sharply aware but narrowed focus, like you're focusing on one little thing, like this one little thing that's in front of you, but you're not, all your focus is on that thing, and your breath has slowed to stopped, and you're not really moving. These are indications I've noticed in my body that something's going on that isn't right now. And when I can start to go, whoa, that's happening again, then I can take a breath and start the process of shifting it. And that's a really powerful piece of radical self-responsibility, that instead of, oh, I'm feeling this ick, I'm feeling this terror, I'm feeling this thing, I'm going to start yelling at the person that I'm with. Clearly it's their fault. They're the one that's here. All right. That's what I'm going to invite shifting. So when you feel the need to want to do that, and this is going to be really, really hard for ego, really hard. Ego is going to be like, you can't admit that this is yours. Ego's going to be like, I want to identify this with this right now. You have to have this be about somebody else. You know, you have to do it this way. And ego will come in and be like, you need to be right, and you need to prove all the reasons why you're right. I'm speaking from my own personal experience of some things I noticed quite strongly, literally in the past couple months in some layers. This strong egoic need to be right, like, I have to be the one that's right here. I need to make my partner wrong. I need to sort of formulate the situation so that I could prove that. Like, clearly anybody who would see this situation would see that I'm right. And that's a layer of ego that's hard to let go of, because it's incredibly humbling. It's incredibly daunting to the place of ego. Like, yeah, you're shedding away and dropping away that skin. Like, that for ego, that sucks. It's a release of that identity. Like, oh, that feels like a little death. And it is, in a sense. There's a death of a layer of our being that just no longer serves. And what's it like to transform and transmute that and move through that and grow in a new way? And it comes from that deep root of radical self-responsibility. I see and honor that this that I'm noticing in my body right now is my experience. And I'm going to choose to work with that in some way. You know, take a breath. Maybe just simply take a breath and ground. Slow down, take a breath, ground. And let that experience have some movement and some space. And that may be all it needs. It may be a bigger one. There's lots of ways we can start to work with it in deeper ways. But simply slowing down, take a breath, ground, come into the awareness inside your body of your center, your midline. And when you, if you're in a moment of interaction with another being, and especially if it's a hyped up one, you know, there's a lot of energy drama going on because we set up these contracts with sometimes with our soul partners, right? To have these, like, I'm going to get mad and then you're going to get sad and then I'm going to get guilty and then you're going to get, and whatever, these little subconscious contracts that we write. So notice when you're in a spiral like that, that's very familiar, and just be the one to go, I see this. I don't understand it. I don't need to just figure it out right now. I don't need to fix it. I'm just going to step away from it and take a breath. Whew. And again, slow down, breathe, center ground, and notice and witness the experiences of the body. Those will be what start to open up the messages around what needs to, you know, what release can happen here, what service. You know, we're always in a place, our bodies are always in the place of moving towards health. Our systems, you know, the essence of who we are. Our body knows that original template of wholeness and humanness and who we are. Like, and it knows our original template beyond that human layer into the soul level. If we can slow down enough to just let it reveal the way, I find that can be incredibly empowering. And like I said, really hard to do because I have experienced my ego coming in and going, no, you can't do it that way. Then you're going to, like, you got to prove you're right. You got to show you're on top. You know, again, this power struggle that I witnessed myself go in. Or the reverse of it, which is, I don't know if it's reverse, but another way that it's expressed through me is I'll get a flare up and a sensation of this and then go, well, then fine, I'm just not going to do this anymore. Like, again, the holding someone at arm's length, like, you know, forget it, I'm out of here. This is different than what I mean. You know, so it's not that forget it, fine, I'm out of here. That is creating a different energetic dynamic with the situation. What I'm talking about is a slowdown, a compassionate shift of awareness of myself that says I need to remove myself and take a breath right now. And that's different than fine, I'm out of here, which is another way that I've explored that and sets up other stuff that's got its own hairy, intertwined energetic ramifications. Compassion for ourselves and for others. And what I'll call even ruthless compassion. Like, yep, really clear, sweet, loving, open space for ourselves. And also clarity that we need to do what we need to do. You know, we need to walk in what that is and then ask for things that we need in a place of compassion and hold that space for ourselves in a place of compassion for ourselves in addition to for our partners, which often comes in a little bit more easily. It's like easier to share love. It's really hard to receive it. So that deep ego shedding on our topic today of radical self-expression, the story of listening to the triggers, noticing, slowing down and taking a moment of responsibility for that, for stepping away. And then there are a lot of tools and things that I share in my work and I work with clients and offer that are very empowering, like that help you connect with how can I unfurl this for myself. And there's a whole spectrum of ways we can explore that. Really they're rooted in, the whole root is, can we slow down, take a breath, notice, ground, feel that I'm relating to the world around me in the present moment, and then from there, connect with the resources available to us to unfurl it. And those resources are around us all the time. I don't just mean a resource as in another person. That resource is within you. The resource is your connection with the earth and the world around you, or that thing that just brings you such exquisite joy. Like, you know, take a little inventory for yourself for a moment. Let's invite this right now to kind of close your eyes, check in, and as I invite the inquiry into self, feel in your body joy. The last time you felt or experienced just exquisite, face-smiling, big and wide joy. And what that sensation is in your body is a resource even. The brightness across the face, the lifting that I feel in my body, the light on my eyelids, the smile, across my face, all of these, the center that I feel, the ground that I feel these as resources. So inquire into yours. How do you feel as I invite that quality of joy? Perhaps it's even connecting with a memory of a time with a young child, or a time as a young child, or maybe a time in nature, maybe a pet that you have. There are many ways we can connect with that sensation of joy, even if it feels like there's not one very available. And go underneath that. And then, as you take that resting breath and notice that body sensation for a moment, kind of harvest it. Harvest it and tuck it away in the body memory banks for future reference. I'm allowed to feel joy, and I have access to feel joy whenever I choose. So let yourself carry with you from today a resource, a way that you feel joy. And maybe even an invitation to go explore that. Maybe it's really loving one point when you were little, drawing with colorful crayons and just not even paying attention to the lines on the page and just putting color down, dancing in that. What would it feel like then to now, in adult waking life, to go out and get a new set of colors, go to the art store, find that set of markers or colored pencils or watercolors, and dance with the color on the paper. And even if that feels a little scary or not sure how to begin, like, go for it, do it, and see what that brings. And let that joy resource be full, be filled in your awareness, in your body. So today, radical self-responsibility. We explored what is that like to be really clearly interdependent, not just rigidly independent, holding people out or doing things myself because I don't have a way to let anybody else in. But also not the other end of the spectrum of dependency of thing outside of me. Instead, sourcing our power from within and trusting in our interdependence with our fellow human beings and the planet. It's a deep, deep, powerful inquiry. And a dance of connecting with this place in your body that can help you relate to that in the solar plexus. Letting yourself breathe into that place. Invite awareness into that place and just witness sensations and journey with those. I'm going to invite shifting into a few announcements and then coming back for a piece before we close.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. The 2014-2015 Mystery School Year of Sacred Sexuality classes are now announced. See the calendar under offerings for dates and details and to register. The Sacred Sexuality Shamanic Apprenticeship runs now through February. See details at the website or reach out to Leslie with any questions. Register for any of the 2015 Winter Spring classes by December 17th and get 20% off the tuition for the class. Details on the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming classes is to subscribe to the email newsletter, about 1 to 2 per month, link available under contact at the website. Join us at the next Temple Community Gathering. Curious about Mystery School of the Temple Arts offerings, but not sure where to start? Join us at a Temple Gathering. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome and not required. More information is available at the website under offerings. And now I give you back to your host, Leslie.
Yay, Courtney. Thank you. I'm going to invite us to settle back into our bodies as we explore feeling, connecting, and being with the energy in our body, our authentic power. We explored today this quality of radical self-responsibility that we get to feel and connect with and own our experiences, and then creatively connect with resourced ways for working with the stuff that comes up. Powerful and important beings on this planet, and the universe supports us as we walk. Like this delightful awareness that even when the stuff feels really tough and gritty and hard to face, know that that would not be coming your way unless you weren't fully capable and resourced to be working with it. That's the delight of trusting in the universe. Our support is there always. And we can be with it and listen and know. And for me, what that journey has been very deeply about getting in my body and getting connected with the earth and the world around me. And I'll call the sacred masculine and sacred feminine balance. So I want to invite that as we continue to take a few breaths here in a closing meditation. So if it's possible for you to find that sort of easy seat where you're feeling balanced in comfort and ease with alertness, beautiful, and engaging in whatever way feels available for you. But feeling that as you're settling into your body and feeling that ease in your position, inviting and relaxing your perineum, your pelvic floor, your anal opening, coccygeal plexus, so the tailbone, just softening the tail, yoni, perineum. This very center of the gates to your root chakra, your root gates, centering, relaxing, and allowing them to soften and be related to, relate with the earth. Feel the quality of a pathway through your root, through, if you're standing, for example, through the feet, up through the legs, also into the body. That you can sink down and relate these roots down into the earth in a very powerful way. Just taking a breath to kind of settle in down about 10 feet into the earth. Maybe the next exhale invites you down about 100 feet into the earth. And then maybe the next one about 1,000 feet. And even the awareness of relating as much as just 10,000 kilometers down into the earth, into the molten core. Feeling, connecting. And then invite and welcome as a deep sort of devotional, or I'll call it wonder and awe, these feelings of wonder and awe that we can go, oh, I'm allowed to connect with the earth, that, oh, I can choose and I can welcome her in, and that she will step in if you call her. So inviting earth, mother, earth, divine, feminine, Shakti, balance, Shakti, inviting that up into the womb space of your body. So whether we're in a male body or female body, I'll call this womb space the hara, or womb, that in the lower center below the navel, regardless of whether or not we have what we might physically name as a womb, the hara, lower center. So inviting this connection of our womb space, our hara, to the womb of the earth, and inviting that juiciness of Earth Mother to come up and fill us and cleanse us. And these breaths can explore, we can explore with sounds of really inviting the breath in, ha, releasing with some sound, inviting that ha sound is a very beautiful way to allow cleansing and purification. Sound invites energy to move. So allowing our energy, anything that's no longer of service, to drop away. As we feel that earth connection, welcome her up into our womb center, our hara, our sexual center. And then release away anything that no longer serves. And then as we let the space of that emerge, inviting again a sipping of energy up into the body. Ha. Ha. And invite that energy of the earth to come up through the body, through the root, and up into the solar plexus, this area we were exploring today a little bit, of power, of shared power, of trusting in our own power and delighting in trusting into opening and connection with others. And let that ha, that quality of possibility emanate through your solar plexus. Noticing the limiting thoughts or beliefs that arise as you sit with that. Witness them. Allow them to float on. And then now a few more breaths of up the body from the earth, from the divine feminine. As we allow that to rise all the way up through our hearts and through heads, through throats, head, crown, to connect with the divine, sacred, masculine of above, the energies of above, of the heavens, of the Father, however that relates for you. But this balance of divine Shakti from the earth, meeting her Shiva, meeting this blend of divine, masculine, golden light. This light feels a little different than earth. It's more electrical. It's more of a golden shower. The earth energy being more liquid, fire, magnetic, molten, and letting them come together now and swirl. Cleansing, releasing out through the solar plexus. And then bringing that golden light all the way down into the hara, into the womb space, and feeling the swirling there, relaxing and settling. Delighting in receiving this divine presence from above and divine presence from below to be the container, chalice, the alchemical crucible of transformation in your body. Simply allow the support of Shakti and of the light from above to blend, to merge, to transmute and clear. And let that cleansing open. Let your energy settle into this beautiful space of the hara, congeal, so that you can carry this delightful presence of being in your body, being in your power. Let that congeal into a little sphere to carry that with you, brightness, settling, feeling in your body this connection with this water center. It can feel like you're really deeply rooted, like grounded, seaweed at the bottom of the ocean, yet buoyant and alive, like, I'm held, I have support, as if the room were filled with water, and you can still breathe. Ooh, what's it like to feel that buoyant aliveness from the root, from connection, sourcing our power from within? And I invite you in this moment, as you carry that with you, to carry with you, what would your higher self love to say to you? What affirmations around your power and the spectrum of power would feel good for you in this realm of radical self-responsibility? That I can step into asking for what I want and need. That I can also let go into the support and juiciness of being held by others in the world. That I am held by myself, that I hold myself in love and support. And that I'm grateful to myself for being present to notice. And breathe those in. Whatever qualities spiral in with that. And delight in gratitude. Gratitude, feeling that gratitude to bloom open from the heart. It says, yay, I get to be here and walk this planet and learn and grow. And yeah, it's not always pretty and fun. And yes, it's always important. So with that, a breath of gratitude, coming back with your awareness into the space. And namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn in Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a private studio temple in West Dearborn, Michigan. We want to thank everybody for joining us, and I just want to give a friendly reminder that the next temple community gathering is Sunday, January 25th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I want to wish everyone a happy day and a wonderful day, and stay warm.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.